Welcoming an American company.
I'm very happy that you have successfully established a branch office in Guangzhou. Your presence here will greatly contribute to the Guangdong business community as a whole. I understand that the majority of employees here are Chinese, and I think you have made a wise decision because such constructive employment practices will greatly promote a better understanding of both American and Chinese cultures. I wish you the best of luck in your new venture and also hope you will be able to make a unique contribution to the economy of both countries. Cooperation is the key to a successful future.
Congratulations on opening ceremony.
Congratulations on the completion and opening of a new Beijing branch. I am so thrilled and happy to see this modern office, and I am pleased to know that the Bank of America has opened another branch in China. As relationships between the People's Republic of China and the United States strengthen more and more each day, having this new branch means a great deal to the economy of both countries. I hope you will be able to do a good business with Chinese as well as customers of other countries, and wish you all the best for success in this wonderful new branch.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking His blessing and His help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama, go back to South Carolina, go back to Georgia, go back to Louisiana, go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My poor little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with this faith. We will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day.
And Africa usher in the new century together.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, in this golden autumn of October, we are gathering here in Beijing for the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation Ministerial Conference Beijing 2000. This is the first of its kind in the history of Sino-African relationships. On behalf of the Chinese government and people, and in my own name, I wish to extend our warm welcome to all our distinguished guests coming from afar and express my sincere congratulations on the successful convocation of the forum. To establish a fair and reasonable new international political and economic order is a lofty cause benefiting all mankind. Despite twists and turns on the road ahead, there are bright prospects for this cause. So long as we work together tirelessly, we will surely achieve the great goals that we have been pursuing together and accomplish the lofty cause that we have been promoting. Thank you. China has an Olympic dream.
Everybody has a dream. Martin Luther King had a dream, and we can all recall his famous civil rights speech. Phil Knight had a dream, and now the whole world knows his Nike slogan, "Just do it." China also has a dream. An Olympic dream. 100 years ago, a newspaper in Tianjin published an article about China's Olympic dream. These challenging questions were raised. The first, when can China send a team to the Olympics? The second, when can China win an Olympic gold medal? The third, when can China host an Olympic Games? As you all know, our country has answered the first two. China sent its team nearly 70 years ago and won its first gold medal in the 1984 Los Angeles Games. Since then, we have all been hoping to answer the third. Earlier this year, China started its final bid for hosting the 2008 Olympic Games. Our passion is to realize the last part of our Olympic dream. That dream guided our first bid 8 years ago. No Chinese will soon forget the disappointment when it burst. However, China's commitment to the Olympic movement has revived the dream. As you know, China increased its participation in Sydney and brought home unparalleled success with 28 gold medals. In the past 8 years, China has spared no efforts to host international sporting events and create a green environment for our Olympic dream. it seems everyone is now trying to contribute to our Green Olympic bid. Even my 12-year-old cousin from Beijing is doing her part. When she visited my hometown during the Spring Festival, she proudly told me she is part of the Green Angels campaign. Then, as if making an announcement at a conference, she declared every Sunday she joins her Green Angels group and spends 2 hours collecting litter in a park. I felt dubious because I know she seldom does anything at home with her tender little hands, let alone collecting litter. However, her parents confirmed and supported their daughter's efforts. Beyond the recent personal involvement, the whole country has for many years been laying foundations for this vision. We are the global village, yet in the past 2 decades, we have made great social and economic progress. For the first time, instead of worrying about food, we now can choose from a wide variety of hypermarkets and restaurants. For the first time, instead of concerns about a roof to shelter us, many are now buying their own apartments. So, for a whole country, China has regarded the opportunity to host the Olympics as a symbol of prosperity, and also as a symbol of integration in the international community. This may also explain why so many Chinese were moved to tears each time the TV showed our national flag being raised in an Olympic stadium. Those Olympic achievements illustrate how the Chinese dragon is waking. Even my young cousin is waking to her responsibility to sacrifice study time and dirty her hands to see this dream fulfilled of hosting an Olympic Games. Everyone feels overjoyed when a great dream comes true. I will feel very happy if I can realize my dream today, to win this competition. The Chinese people will feel rewarded if they can win the bid this July and realize their Olympic dream, a century-old dream. But like all dreams, you never know the ending until the last minute. So, if I could add something more to Beijing's bid, I would simply say, "Hey world, now is the time to let us just do it. Thank you for dreaming with me."
I'm wishing on a star.
From a speechwriter's mouth. Someone once said, "Your mouth and your mind are wonderful things. They start working the minute you're born and never stop until you get up to speak in public." Of all the many things to fear in life, people fear public speaking the most. But stage fright is only half the challenge. First, you have to figure out what you're going to say. Here, many people freeze, held back by the idea that speeches are magic and that they are some combination of special tricks in show business that cannot be achieved by the average person. Speeches are not magic. A speech is a combination of information and opinion written on paper and spoken. If you can have a thoughtful conversation, you can write and give a thoughtful speech. This is just one more reason why spoken English is so important. Here are a few things I've learned as a speechwriter that may help.
No speech should last more than 20 minutes. The more important the message, the less time required to say it. The Gettysburg Address lasted only about 3 minutes. In other words, the shorter your speech is, the more easily it can be remembered.
Focus on one topic. It is too difficult to follow along to a speech that covers too many thoughts, opinions, or ideas.
Choose your words carefully. It's important to remember that your words must be hearable and comprehensible the first time out. A lot of words sound alike. For instance, the words eunuch and unique sound very similar when pronounced quickly. A speech that describes a unique responsibility is very different from a speech that describes a unique responsibility.
It most certainly is. Oh, yeah. And that's why pronunciation is also important in choosing your words. Humor is vital, as we just demonstrated. Every speech needs it, and you need it too, probably at the top. Ronald Reagan always wanted a joke at the beginning of a speech because he needed the quick victory of laughter. It helped him relax. It also helped the audience relax.
Don't forget to say thanks. Say your thanks in the manner or with the tone of someone who's been invited to a party and just walked in the door to shake the host's hand. Offer a compliment or a warm word.
That's all that's needed. Giving a speech isn't as scary as it seems. You can do it if you try. Don't let the number one fear of Americans be your number one fear. The following speech is a perfect example of all the right things to do in a speech. It has a strong and classic beginning. It states its purpose right away, and it is well organized. It builds a rapport with the audience and inspires the listener. Follow Teacher Lee's words carefully because this speech was a big hit in South Korea. He really is an international speech master.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to visit South Korea to speak with you today and to share my experiences learning English. I'd also like to talk about the importance of speaking good English to the future success of Asia. First of all, I must say, I've always admired Korea for its success in the past years. Actually, standing here makes me feel really honored and excited. I absolutely have no doubt that I will bring back many valuable things to China. These are your hard work, your spirit, your strong sense of nationalism, your experience, and most important of all, your friendship. Maybe some of you are afraid that the spread of English will endanger the unique Korean culture. But I have to say, this fear is unfounded. On the contrary, English education will enhance Korean culture by making it more well-known throughout the world. English doesn't belong to the United States or Great Britain. English belongs to the whole world. Good command of English will help Korea keep its competitive edge in today's information age. Overall, English will help promote Korea and a Korean's international image. I've created a very effective English learning method. It works miracles, especially for Asian people. I know from your history that Korean people are very good at absorbing and accepting new ideas from all over the world. I am Chinese, but please don't think I'm coming here as a Chinese person to teach you English. I'm coming here to share with you my dream and the techniques of speaking good English. It will save you a lot of time, effort, and money. I know South Korea is ahead of China in English education. I also know that lots of Koreans speak good English. But what I can do is to raise the English level on a national scale, regardless of your background or income. You can speak good English in a short time without the financial burden of private tutoring. Speaking English is not just for the privileged few. It is for everyone. Korea is known for its strong sense of nationalism and its spirit of diligence, self-help, and cooperation. In fact, a recent survey of foreign residents in Korea credited the determination and efforts of the people as a key factor to Korea's economic recovery. So, I strongly believe that this determination and effort combined with crazy English will guarantee your success in mastering English. English will certainly help improve Korea's economy even further.